Happy Europe Day, everyone. Welcome to the Foreign Policy Talks Europe Day special episode. For this interview, we'll bring to you the candid and exclusive conversation with the ambassadors of the European Union member countries. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, the listeners of Foreign Policy Talks podcast. Thank you so much for being the loyal listeners of this platform. I'm today very humbled and honored of having Ambassador Francisco de Aziz Aguilera Aranda, Ambassador of Spain to Indonesia. Before we start talking about a lot of topics, let me greet him. Ambassador Aguilera, how are you doing?
Well, thank you very much. Good day, everyone. And it's for me a real pleasure. And actually, I'm also honored to meet you today and your viewers.
Right. So, Ambassador, today is a special episode because we are celebrating the Europe Day. So, first of all, happy Europe Day, Ambassador. And I hope you're doing well.
You too.
And in celebration of Europe Day, I'm curious to know, how does Spain express the value of peace and unity spirit to its domestic and foreign principles, Ambassador?
Well, I believe it is interesting that we are talking about Europe and we are talking about peace. Unfortunately, as of today, we are not living in peace in one particular part of a continent. But the very idea of Europe is peace in itself. The European continent, like the rest of the world, has had a very troubled history, where plenty of disappointing and terrible episodes, wars, conflicts, and many situations. And suddenly, for a number of historical reasons, the different peoples of Europe decided, oh, okay, that's enough. We are going to do the right thing as of today, and we are building up something new for the future. So this is the Europe project, and the European ideal, the European project, and its incarnation, which is the European Union, is something which is very much dealing with peace. From that point of view, answering your question of what Spain is doing in the field of peace, well, it is not the only thing we do, but definitely it is perhaps the most practical, important thing we do is participating enthusiastically in all European institutions. The European Union is, of course, a regional experience in the field of global governance, but still is a very valid experience that in other continents, some other countries have decided to somehow emulate or simply inspire. Of course, here in Southeast Asia, you have ASEAN, and ASEAN, I believe, is the regional answer to the needs and aspirations of the peoples of Southeast Asian nations. So from that point of view, you don't need to do exactly what we have been doing in Europe. The important thing is that you feel the same way we feel, that the best way ahead is always international cooperation, multilateralism, and the cooperation in all possible fields. You don't need to agree on all matters with your neighbors and with your partners. It is important to remember that we are still individual nations and we also have our particular interests. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't make it impossible for you to work with them, to enjoy being with them, and to be able to do many things together in every respect. So I believe what Spain as a country and Spanish society can do in the field of peace is, first of all, to keep peace at home. And in that respect, we have been basically a very peaceful country in every respect. Unfortunately, we have the terrible experience of terrorism many times. We are not alone in that situation, in that experience. But with the rule of law, principles and with the efficient work of the police and the judiciary, actually terrorism has been able to be defeated by the Spanish authorities in the past. But this is a very sad experience. But because just taking this experience into account, just to remind us that you are not always in the perfect situation, this is one thing which is domestic peace you have to keep. The other thing is international peace. We are a responsible country in the international community. We don't do aggressive things to our neighbors or to other countries in the world. We try to be a good citizen of the world, and we support very much international multilateralism, international fora, the United Nations, the European Union, of course, and many other fora we also participate because we believe international cooperation is most of the time the best way forward. And finally, I also would like to mention something which is appropriate in this sad and terrible times we are now enduring, especially the people of Ukraine. Something else we are also doing to present peace, which is our membership to the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Of course, this is a regional organization for Europe and for North America. It has nothing to do with other parts of the world, with the exception of cooperation, all the kind of links. But belonging to NATO, and contrary to what some people say, is not an alliance against anyone. It is an alliance to protect ourselves. And this is actually a very big contribution to peace, because the moment you join the organization, you are also supporting the borders of each of or your neighbors and the other fellow countries, and you're also supporting international peace.
Right, Ambassador, that's impressive. And I like your point saying that each region and continent has its own challenges, and meaning, but ASEAN as well, Europe needs to keep promoting peace, right, in the globe. And I think it's very important point that you mentioned earlier. But Ambassador, as you are ambassador to Indonesia, and also most of the listeners are also coming from Indonesia, allow me to jump into Indonesia and Spain relations in particular.
Please.
Yes, you recently visited and met Vice President Ma'ruf Amin of Indonesia, discussing opportunities to strengthen future bilateral cooperation between Spain and Indonesia. And the Vice President, what I read in the news, and you, which you can confirm to us, expressed his encouragement to further have more investment coming into the country from Spain, right? And maybe also touch about the trade cooperation, if I'm not mistaken. What's your response to this, and how should Indonesia and Spain take further initiatives to promote more economic and trade cooperation?
Well, thank you for this question. Actually, for me, it has been a very great honor to be received by the Vice President. I just remember that I knew here in Indonesia, just arrived a few months ago. Yeah. So at the beginning of my post here, and definitely my main role right now is actually to introduce myself to the stakeholders of the country and to the leaders of the country. So actually the main reason for my visit was just to say hello, I am here and I am available to support the endeavors of the Indonesian government and the actions of the Indonesian government in order to strengthen the bilateral relationships. But taking into account that he was kind enough to see me, actually, yes, of course, the meeting was very productive, very, very, of course, very institutional. You don't go down into too much detail with such a high officer. Yeah. But it was very, very interesting from that point of view, because it allowed me to feel, not only to see or check or whatever, but also to feel how warm the attitude and the policy of the Indonesian government is towards Spain. We have been consistently friends since independence. Actually, we have always had a very good bilateral relationship. We believe in many principles together. We share many views, we have many interests. And even if we are living in very separate places of the world, we are very far away from each other. We get along very well. Actually, our relationship is deprived of issues that may concern one party or another. Usually, we work along together very well. And from that point of view, we are so happy to be able to support this aim of deepening the bilateral relationships. You mentioned before investment. And in that respect, well, first of all, we have to take into account that unfortunately with pandemics, very little has been done in the last 2 years because of, let's say, the unfeasibility for many people to come here and see for themselves what this country is able to offer. I know for sure that there are many Spanish companies, Spanish people who know Indonesia, although have been unable to come lately, but they have interesting prospects for this country in terms of business ties and investments or other kind of economic activities. From that point of view, definitely opportunities like this one is a very good way to test the water, to see whether there is a good environment for Spaniards to come here and to be able to invest. And this is something that I will be able to tell the Spanish companies or the Spanish investors who might feel interested in Indonesia, that I have been able to meet the Vice President, I have been able to meet other very senior leaders, and definitely they are very welcoming from that point of view. However, of course, once you enter into details, first of all, I not have the freedom or liberty to disclose much information on that because they are private projects in the end. And definitely the money is not mine, the money is theirs. And I don't have the right to be very specific on that matter.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is that there are many sectors of the Indonesian economy which are very interesting for anyone, not only for Spaniards. Yeah. And definitely they are very keen to come, see, and talk to their partners and see what they can do from that point of view. Definitely, Indonesia will be much more attractive to foreign investment as long as the legal and economic environment is conducive to this kind of investment.
Yeah.
Indonesia has been doing in the last months and years actually a very impressive movement of new regulations regarding the matter, which allows for more foreign participation in economic activities in Indonesia. And since the idea is always to have partnerships and to be able to allow foreign investors to come here, meet the Indonesian partners and see what they can do together in different fields, it should be possible to find the right and the best investment prospects for everyone concerned. I feel optimistic in that respect, although I'm very much aware that there is a lot of problems in the negotiation agreements between the parties, and there are many, the devil is always in the details, and they have to discuss a lot of things. So from that point of view, I believe the prospects are positive, although we shouldn't rush to announce anything just yet because we don't have it available as of today.
Right, I think it's a very good point for government officials who are going to listen to this podcast, right, to keep improve the regulations that we have in Indonesia to attract more foreign investment coming in. But a little bit follow-up on that, Ambassador. Have we seen a robust contribution between private sectors from Spain in Indonesia, apart from the government stuff that you've mentioned earlier?
Well, you mean the business... To business ties, I believe they are developing very well, actually. Spanish companies, to my knowledge, and I insist I'm still new here, I have so many things to learn, but still, to my knowledge, the experience of Spanish private companies working here in Indonesia usually is very good regarding both the authorities and the private partners they have to deal with, depending on the specific economic sectors they are working with. However, as I insist, you had to dwell into the details depending on what specific activity they plan to do. Some activities are very much regulated, and therefore you had to follow the regulation and first of all find out what this regulation is. Mm-hmm. And there are other activities which are more, let's say, market oriented, and in that respect this is much more a private business agreement between parties that it is not the concern of the embassy as such, but definitely we are so happy to see that they are developing. We are not a very big economic partner of Indonesia. We would like very much to be, but definitely we are not one of the leading countries in that respect. But the important thing is the trend. The trend over here is, I believe, quite positive. We were receiving plenty during pandemics and especially during quarantine time. We were receiving plenty of calls, emails, and messages from Spain from different parties of people willing to come, willing to have meetings, willing to arrange for a prospective visit or actually to recover back again the contacts they already have and the business projects they had before pandemics and be able to see whether they can fulfill them. So we see that there's a lot of interest. I'm sure we are not unique in that respect, but definitely I bear witness that this is true as far as Spain and Indonesia is concerned.
Right, impressive. And, you know, Ambassador, countries worldwide are moving on to the post-pandemic situation, meaning that we want to recover immediately, right? And President Jokowi has mentioned his vision of three priority topics that Indonesia will pursue at the post-pandemic time, which is the health recovery, the digitalization and green transition. Let me start with the digitalization, Ambassador. You also recently visited the Ministry of Communication and Information, right, to strengthen our ICT cooperation. Do you mind sharing your reflection on how both Spain and Indonesia should embrace the potential of digitalization at the post-pandemic time?
Well, digitalization, or actually the digital sector, is very important element of the Spanish economy. It's 3.8% of our GDP. So in Spain itself, it's a very dynamic sector. There are plenty of important companies working over there. We have some multinationals which are very well-known in the field. And we also have medium and small companies as well who are very active in the field. So from that point of view, for us, in any case, it's always a priority. As I also mentioned before, regarding my visit to the Vice President, I went to see the Minister of Telecommunications, actually, as part of my introduction exercise to the leaders of the country. And for me, it was a very interesting meeting because it allowed me to learn more about the Indonesian priorities in the field. That was actually my main purpose, to be able to learn more and to be sure about what actually are the Indonesian government priorities. I know it is very important. Actually, you can also remember that the three main pillars of the Indonesian G20 presidency or chairmanship is actually connectivity, one of them. So from that point of view, it's only natural that that ministry and other ministries in other parallel efforts as well involved are very much important in making sure that it happens. I learned from that point of view that the Indonesian government is especially keen to follow up and push for a number of development projects. And I was able to explain to His Excellency the Minister details about the way Spain as government or Spanish financial institutions, private institutions are able to help finance these projects. From that point of view, I believe that always keeping in mind the OECD consensus, we are very competitive. And it should be easy for the Indonesian authorities, if they so will, to be able to trust Spanish financing for the projects and also Spanish companies as partners for the implementation of the relevant initiatives and priorities of the Indonesian government. So that was more or less the general content. And in that respect, we actually happened to have the chance to find a very receptive audience from the ministry himself.
Right, looking forward to see more Spanish digital startups and also technology in the country, Ambassador. Right, and you know, both Indonesia and Spain are working to establish a greener world, right? And we can also see that on how both countries have conveyed publicly in many of international conferences like COP26 last year in Glasgow. That's what I see. And one of the aspects that Indonesia is pretty much highlighting on is the renewable energy, Ambassador. I think it's not an option for Indonesia to find possible ways to you know, develop this renewable energy, right, given to its potential. So how is it so far in terms of its relation with Spain in promoting the renewable energy development?
Well, it goes as far or as slow as the country itself goes, actually. Each country has got its national strategy on the matter. We all share the goals of a decarbonization for our economies sometime later this century. And from that point of view, every nation has to be able to design its own national strategy to achieve that target. Everyone has got his priorities, his sources of energy. So you cannot compare one country to another. We have to understand and help each other, but we don't mean to say that you have to do what we do or something like that. This is not the way we proceed. You have to simply adjust what you can do with your partners to what their partners are willing to do and how they want to do it. Taking this into account, well, we can actually share a lot of good news from that point of view. Our economy, our power generation in Spain is actually very much diversified. We are a country which is very much depending on renewable energies as of today. Actually, I have here figures dated from February 2022. And actually for us, as of today, or as of February this year, renewable energy accounted for 39% of our whole generation of power in the country. And then you have thermal, solar, hydro, photovoltaic solar, hydro itself, hydro wind, wind energy, which is the largest section of it, renewable waste and other renewables. So it is made out of many different sources of renewable energy. We still are 62% non-renewable, of course. It's mainly nuclear and combined cycle gas generators, power plants. But for instance, coal, we hardly have it. Coal is very important in Indonesia. It is up to Indonesia to decide which strategy it is going to follow. So, but with this, I just mean to say that in every country has got different circumstances. However, it is true, we do have a lot of experience in renewable energies because first of all, we use them. We are feeling it. We are seeing actually the very positive effects that the renewable energy has for the economy at large. And actually, it is also very important because in times like this one, when you suddenly find that the conventional energy sources are either more expensive, less available, or something wrong happened to them, renewable energies, because they depend on renewable elements and they actually national, very national, they are always available and you can trust them to supply all the energy needs of a country. It won't be coming tomorrow. You need to prepare a transition to that field. You also need to be careful of what the way this transition is carried out so that, let's say, the losers of the transition are somehow compensated by this transition so that they are still participating in the economic activity of the country. But you have to keep pushing for the renewable energy. In that respect, we are following very much what the Indonesian government is doing in the field, what their priorities are and how they plan to do it. And there are plenty of interest by Spanish companies to be themselves available to Indonesia in order to be able to fulfill these aims. As of today, there are at least, I believe, six big companies of Spain here. They have offices here in Indonesia. They are working with their partners in Indonesia. Although they're really renewable energy, unfortunately, their projects are not very big. Perhaps I could mention here, I'm not going to give the name of the company, but I could mention here, for instance, in the wind turbines sector, there are a couple of big projects in Sulawesi, which are actually operated or supported by Spanish companies. They are also in Sumatra, and there are also other projects in Java. So the other energy companies we have here, one might be very strategic for the future because they are developing and very efficiently conducting that the production of green hydrogen. This should be perhaps one possibility for the future. There are many options. This option has to be economically and ecologically studied so as to find out what is the best alternative or solution for any particular energetic need of a community, a city, or an area. But definitely the Spanish technology, the Spanish experience in the field is available. I'm very much willing to work with Indonesia in that respect.
Right, I agree with you, Ambassador, that energy transition is not an easy process, right? It needs time. And I think it's good to see Indonesia also learn and also work with Spain to learn from its experiences, the best practices. As you said, right, there's already a big proportion of renewable energy implementation in Spain. And I think we're moving towards that way. And I totally happy to hear that you want to promote that with Indonesia in the coming years. And I'm sure now, Ambassador, as you know, right, many young foreign policy enthusiasts are very, dragged into the environmentalist perspective and seeing everything. So as you said, right, the ecological aspect must be promoted in our future development. And hopefully the listeners can understand about this development. Right. And I'd like to jump, Ambassador. I know you don't have a lot of time, although I want to dig deeper on that. But talking about the recent geopolitical crisis between Ukraine and Russia, and as you know, it leads to a lot of crisis, not only political crisis, but humanitarian crisis, social, economic crisis, right? Adding the conditions that badly hit by the pandemic already. But how is Spain is actually doing now to help resolve the crisis? And we've seen that Spain is putting a lot of effort to ease the effects of this crisis or war, right, by putting humanitarian aid to Ukrainian or Ukraine people. So I think our listeners want to know about that, Ambassador. What's Spain's stance and what to do next?
Well, thank you for the question. Actually, Spain is very much committed to supporting Ukraine in this crisis. The invasion of Ukraine by Russia has been a big shock to the Spanish public opinion and to the perception that in general European countries have of themselves another situation they were actually enjoying after so many years of peace and cooperation among themselves. It has been really shocking because on top of that, of course, is the human tragedy. We have seen human tragedies like this one, of course, in many parts of the world. And as far as the Spanish public opinion and the Spanish government is concerned, all tragedies deserve our attention and our interest, and definitely our support to the victims. But certainly it is a shocking circumstance, the fact that an European country, or any other country, but in this case an European country, has been invaded by another one because of the intention of the invasion. Over here we see that a neighboring country is actually willing to invade, occupy, and annex this country. It is meant to make this country disappear as such and to create something completely different. This is simply unacceptable, because the moment we accept that an invasion like that takes place and succeeds, we actually open the door to seeing situations like that in other parts of the world. That may be in Asia, that may be in Africa, that may be elsewhere. It doesn't matter where. The important thing is that all nations or members of the international community do see that their independence, their sovereignty, their territorial integrity is well preserved, well kept, and respected by each and every one of the members of the international community. As to what Spain is doing regarding this situation, well, my prime minister was actually visiting Kiev. He went there actually to meet the president of Ukraine, and he was in the company of the prime minister of Denmark, in order to show solidarity. Definitely, Spain is very much committed to the Ukrainian cause. We are very much supportive of the independence and territorial integrity of Ukraine, and we will be doing as much as we can and to the end to support them and to see that they are able to get out of this situation the best they can. We are supporting them in the humanitarian field by sending tons of humanitarian assistance and aid. We are supporting them by accepting refugees in Spain. As of today, there are next to 200,000 refugees in Ukrainian refugees in Spain, and more people will be maybe likely to come as well. They are able to work, they are able to go to school if they are children, they are able to have a life by themselves as long as the situation endures. They are not the first refugees we accept, but definitely they are the last one to join to the situation or to the suffering of many peoples around the world. And we are also supporting them in every other field that we can, be that political, military, whatever. Definitely, Spain is very much behind Ukraine, and we would like to see an end to the suffering of the population and to the situation, the tribulation that the Ukrainian government is facing right now because of this terribly unjust, unfair, and unprovoked invasion by the Russian Federation.
Thank you so much for sharing the Spain's point of view and positions on this crisis, Ambassador. And I agree with you, it's a human tragedy, right? And I think the listeners will understand your point of view by reflecting that the same situation might also happen in many parts of the world, as you said earlier. But moving on to another topic, Ambassador, right? Indonesia is having a precious opportunity to hold the chairmanship or presidency of G20, the group of advanced economists, right? From Spain's perspective, any expectations towards the G20 under Indonesia's leadership?
Well, first of all, that Indonesia succeeds in carrying out a very successful chairmanship of the G20. We want well, of course, to Indonesia to have it. It is definitely a very hard task to be able to chair any organization, any event. And we totally understand the concerns, the worries, and all the situations that the Indonesian chairmanship is now finding itself through every day. No? In that respect, unfortunately, we also had to recognize that circumstances today are not the circumstances that allow Indonesia to become chairman in late November, early December. Definitely, the international situation has changed a lot. You are probably aware of our concerns regarding one member of G20 and its international behavior. And definitely, we cannot pretend that we are able to follow business as usual with this particular member. From that point of view, how the situation is dealt with, of course, we will see what comes out. And since we trust the Indonesian chairmanship to be able to find the right way, but we are definitely very much and happy about seeing high level representation from that particular member. This is something that it should be easy to understand. And it should also be clear that making our efforts to ensure the participation of anyone at the meeting is always welcome. But if one particular member is for whatever reason difficult to have, then the views of at least half of the membership of the G20 should also be taken into consideration from that point of view. Anyway, I believe also Indonesia should be able to steer the situation away. I don't want to tell Indonesian leadership how to do it, but yeah, definitely they will be able to see it through, hopefully. But also it will be interesting for us, for Spain. You know that we are a permanent guest. We are not officially a member because of strange things of the history, but whatever the thing. The fact is that we are very much keen to see that Indonesia, now holding the chairmanship, is able to keep their group moving forward and to be able to dwell into future issues that are of concern of everyone. There is climate change. There is the energy transition we mentioned before. There is the social effects of this energy transition into the populations across the globe. There is the element of the widening of multilateralism, peace, and the preservation of human rights across the globe. So there are many international issues that Indonesia perhaps should be able to push forward in during its chairmanship. It is, of course, difficult for any chair of any organization or forum to make, let's say, the national goals present, because in the end of the day, when you chair something, you're always receiving the input from all the members, and you have to combine them somehow. But still, let's hope that Indonesia manages to push forward in this positive direction for the benefit of the whole of the international community.
And I think, you know, Indonesian G20 leadership is working to, you know, to fight against the criticism that said G20, you know, is just a forum that much promises, less deliver. So let's see what can we do this year with the international circumstances that you mentioned earlier. And I think, yeah, I still believe that we can, as you said, right, we're still optimists about Indonesia's leadership that can bring tangible and impactful legacies for the economic recovery. And Ambassador, I'm sure young listeners wants to actually know you deeper on your personal preference and about your stories as Ambassador of Spain to Indonesia. And may I reconfirm again, how long have you been here, Ambassador?
Well, in this time, I have been here for less than 6 months, but I was posted here 20 years ago.
Wow.
I can compare Indonesia then with Indonesia now. So this is my second time in this country.
So of course you've seen much improvement, yeah, since the...
Absolutely, absolutely. I see a much better Indonesia in every respect. And when I'm talking about Indonesia, I'm not talking about the buildings or the landscape, I'm talking about the people. I see happier faces here than when I came here for the first time. And for me, this is the most rewarding part of my experience in Indonesia. I have seen that the country, like every country in the world, you have your problems, you have your challenges, you have your situations, beginning with the pandemics, of course. But the country as such has good work. And this is so nice to see that, you're simply happy to see that. This is one thing. Even Machet, the horrible traffic jams in Jakarta that everybody is complaining about all the time. Traffic jams today are, to my experience, much less than they were then. In those days, I remember that if you try to do something in the morning or in the afternoon, you would only do so much. You were bound to be stuck in a big traffic jam, and you can only get to do one single thing every day. Today, you can do a few things during the day, even if you have to move from one place to another. you still get traffic jams, but what can you expect from such a big city like Jakarta? No? But still, even this funny thing of the life in Jakarta, not so funny when you had to endure it, but in the end of the day, it's part of the personality and the charm of the city. This thing is better now than it was before. Just to name a daily experience for all of us.
Right. So you came in the middle of pandemic, and I'm not sure that you've been exploring a lot of places in Indonesia in the past 6 months. But any interesting stories while you were exploring any parts of Indonesia so far?
Well, very little, actually, because I didn't have much time now. So far, I only managed to visit Bali, Lombok, and Maluku Utara. Going to visit a few islands over there. I don't know. How can I tell you that I like this and that and that and the other and the next? I actually came back very much impressed, very fondly impressed by the people and the scenery in Maluku Utara. I managed to visit Tidore, Ternate, Sula, other places, and then of course in Lombok and Bali. Bali is very much renowned everywhere. Lombok is also catching up. Unfortunately, Maluku Utara is not that soon old. And I still had to visit many other places in the country. So the more I know, the better for me. I am sure I'm going to enjoy.
Sure. And looking forward to catch up with you again, Ambassador, and tell us the stories that you got from any other places.
My pleasure.
It's just 6 months. We can understand, definitely. But thank you so much, Ambassador.
Thank you
for your time, for your knowledge, for your stories about Spain and Indonesia. I hope the listeners will get a lot of knowledge from this and you know, help you and the country to further expand the cooperation that we have established for years, for decades. And thank you so much, Ambassador.
Thank you very much. Do take care, and thank you very much to you and to viewers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening all the way to the end. Follow Foreign Policy Talks on Instagram at Foreign Policy Talks to keep updated. Feel free to comment your thoughts on this Europe Day special episode on our Instagram. And don't forget to check the quiz that we're going to have, especially for the celebration of peace and unity in this Europe Day. Thank you, and stay tuned for the next episode.